Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today a guy that not too many people know here locally because he doesn't kind of hang out here yet. His name is Chuck Flink. Chuck, the best way I can describe him is a nationally renowned landscape developer. And he's got a dossier, a resume that would take us the full half hour to go through. But he is the guy who has been contracted with by the county to lead us, along with Dan Dodd, who's a landscape
architect.
Thank you. Right here in Tega Cay. These two guys worked together on the Anne Springs Close Greenway, and they've done such a marvelous job up there that everybody knew exactly who to go run to when this project became available. So without any further ado, thank you, Chuck, for being here.
Manning, thank you. It's an honor for me to be on your show. Congratulations to you for 36 years of broadcast. You're an institution here, and I'm honored to join you today.
Well, aren't you kind. Now, tell everybody, I always say the Cliff Notes version.
Right, I will.
About your background, if you would.
I've been doing this for 40 years, and I'm a landscape architect out of Durham, North Carolina. I've been so fortunate to work in 250 communities in 36 states across the country, done some consulting work in seven foreign countries, and I've authored three books on the subject of greenways and trails. And I, you know, it's just, it's been a pinch me kind of career. I love what I do. I'm fortunate to do what I do.
How did you fall into that?
You know, I have to really go back and thank my mom and dad, who made me weed the garden when I was a little kid. You know, we lived outdoors, Manning, and when it came time to sort of pick a career, I said I wanted to be outdoors because that's the way I grew up. And landscape architecture was something that came to my attention. And I decided, you know, at a very young age, I was like 17 years old, I said, I'm going to be a landscape architect. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew I wanted to be one.
So. Now, I want you to pick just a couple of projects that you've been involved with that people would instantly recognize, if you can do that.
Well, I'm going to start with the Anne Springs Close Greenway because I've been working on that close to 30 years. I really admire the Close family a lot. Miss Close, Elle, Derek, Crandall, you go down the list, Will, all of it. The family's amazing. And I say to people, I came out with a book last March called The Greenway Imperative, which you can get on Amazon.com if you're interested. And the Anne Springs Close Greenway is chapter one in that book because I have a strong spiritual connection to the land. And I've formed a really great connection with that family. And they're such an asset to this region. So that's one. You'd be remiss if you didn't talk about the Grand Canyon Greenway, because I worked out there for 10 years and did the Greenway on the South Rim and the North Rim.
I have been around.
Which is fully accessible. The idea there was when we arrived in 1997, everyone was crowded into very small overlooks, and it was packed. And so we developed an 11-mile system of greenways along the South Rim that really spreads that visitation out. And then we went to the North Rim, which is a beautiful, beautiful place, and we developed a connector trail there. So that's, you know, a great project. Grand Forks, North Dakota, a lot of people haven't been there, but did a 2,000-acre greenway after a massive flood event that occurred in 1997. So the cities were destroyed. The Army Corps of Engineers brought me in. We did a 2,000-acre greenway that's turned out really well. You know, there's a lot of projects I could talk about. And I guess I'll just finish up with one that I recently worked on with the Walton Family Foundation out in northwest Arkansas. So we did a 36-mile greenway that connects six cities together in a non-motorized pathway. And I would say this is really a credit to the Walton Family Foundation and the citizens of northwest Arkansas. It's really changed the culture and the way people live out in northwest Arkansas. So I've been very fortunate to work on a lot of great projects.
So one thing that comes clearly to me from what you've just said is that all these projects are long-term projects. You don't just flip a switch and done.
That's right. I mean, when you look at how long I've been working with the Close family, close to 30 years, and where we started with that project and the vision and how it's evolved over time and the changes that we've collectively all made, the decisions that we've all made, the board of managers, the Leroy Springs company and the Close family. You know, I think that's one of the really great things about these projects is that they do take a long time and they do evolve and they become different than they're originally envisioned.
All right, so just to bring everybody up to date, if they don't know about Riverbend, the York County Council about 2.5 years ago made a very bold step, bought what is more commonly known as the old Bowater property. They bought it from Newland, Carolina, which wanted to make a residential development out there. It didn't happen for a lot of reasons. They had to sell the property. The county was in the right place at the right time, invested about $19 million to buy almost 2,000 acres of property. And they immediately went to work on putting it in a conservation easement so that it will always be basically green space what it is right now, right?
Correct.
All right. That takes a lot of time.
It does.
So then they moved on to putting together an initial committee that eventually formed, I guess, what we're called now a steering committee.
Right, a steering committee.
Which is where we got to meet Dan and yourself, Chuck.
Right.
So we have been about the process, and I should say, obviously, that I'm a member of this committee and very pleased to be on it. We have been just doing a lot of jawing back and forth,
right,
trying to figure out what it is that we think is right. So the experts can go together and put it on paper.
Right. Yeah, you've been taken through my process, which I can understand is a little frustrating for folks. I have a process which I'll simply describe as I like to come in and do kind of a market study. I like to understand the business proposition behind these kind of projects. I like to understand what the landscape is like. And it's a big piece of land, 1,900 acres. I like to then listen to the community, and in this case, listen to the steering committee. So that's taken up really the first half of this project. We're now at the point where we're ready to kind of do a big reveal. We're ready to talk about our recommendations for this park, how we think the park will be essentially designed and laid out, what are the features of the park, how much it will cost to build out the entire park, where that funding will come from, and how the park should be built in phases. I realize we've sort of reached that stage in the process where people are sort of tired about jawing back and forth and they really want to know what the answers are, and we're there. So by June 15th, we'll roll out our vision of what this park should be and how we feel it's going to come to life. And I think it'll be very exciting. It's a phenomenal piece of land. It is a really special landscape at the bend in the river. And I applaud the county council. I applaud the citizens of York County for having the vision and the wherewithal to spend the money to acquire the land. I know it's a lot of money, but it's a phenomenal investment in the future of this region and this community, and it's been a good move.
And so people will understand that $19 million is basically being paid back by the hospitality tax.
Right.
Which is great.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because, what a hospitality tax relies on is visitation. So essentially, you get help from people who don't live here in helping to pay for a project that really benefits your community. But those same visitors benefit from the fact that you're developing this park because it really creates a richness in your community that backstops that visitation.
Now, it was interesting to me that when the county put up on the website a survey that they asked everybody to participate in, you got a very large response.
Yeah, we had almost 2,000 people that responded, which was great. And I think it shows a couple of things, Manning. It shows the level of support that there is in this county for a park. I mean, there, a lot of people really, really enjoy this. I talked about the fact that this survey is a household survey, and so the women of the community really responded well. I mean, and that's going to happen when you do a household survey, because a lot of women are in households are going to be looking out for their children. They're also looking out for their husbands, and they're going to talk about the kinds of activities that they're interested in. So things like camping, things like river access, hiking trails, environmental education, these all scored really high. And it was great to get that input, because that input has really helped us to decide what this park should be going forward.
There were no surprises from the survey.
There were no surprises. It was you can sort of profile the community in a lot of different ways, and you can look at the survey responses, and it really fit beautifully. I mean, it's hand in glove in terms of what the expectations would be and how people responded to the survey questions.
I can remember when you did one of your PowerPoints and you showed what national data responses are to surveys like this.
Yes.
And the number one thing is hiking and walking.
Hiking,
and what do you think the number one thing was in your county? Hiking and walking.
By huge percentages, too. It's like, no doubt, everybody really wants hiking trails. They want to get outdoors. And this park is going to be a nature-based park. So it's going to celebrate the outdoors. It's going to celebrate the history and the culture of the land. And people want a place to kind of go. In a metro area like this that's growing so rapidly, people want a place to go and unwind and relax and be outdoors and be one with nature. And that's really the response that we've gotten in surveying the public and working with the committee and really, you know, listening to what people say about this piece of land.
So to give some insight as to how these meetings have gone, last night I thought was pretty interesting. We went for about an hour and a half, and we had all kinds of people throwing out all kinds of things. The big debate was whether or not this park, we wanted this park to be a very active kind of park.
Right.
Or a more park type of park, rather reserve type of park.
Exactly.
And I think, I don't know, I came away with, we want it to be a park kind of park, yes, with some of the things that would create some activity.
I think that's a very fair assessment of last night's wonderful discussion. We've got 1,700 acres of the 1,900 acres that's held in a conservation easement. So that conservation easement is going to limit the kind of footprint and impact we can have on the land. It's gonna skew us towards nature-based recreation, passive recreation. We have 200 acres that is not under that conservation easement. It's a great opportunity for the county in many, many ways to think about how to use that 200 acres. And what we said was introducing a little bit more intensive activity provides an opportunity to generate some revenue. And when we generate that revenue, we can use that to balance the costs of operating the park. So we're very sensitive to that. We know that operating these parks is an expense. We don't want to saddle the county with long-term debt in terms of operating the park. So if we have an area where we can generate some revenue, we would use that revenue to offset park operations. And so this sets up beautifully to do that.
It's going to be very interesting to see how all this unfolds. But I think it was very clear. Well, let me step back. One of the biggest challenges that I see for this whole park, no matter what you put in it, is getting to it.
Yes.
Because this is out in the middle of Timbuktu.
It is. One of the great assets of this park is it's remote. And its remoteness has really been a salvation for preserving the land, a beautiful piece of land. The problem for it now is getting to it. And so we're not going to, this community is not going to solve that in the short term. That's a long-term endeavor. But in order to activate all of the promise and the future of the park, we're going to have to make an investment in the road system and getting people to the park.
One of the points that we talked about last night was when you talk about expenses and having, you know, an admissions policy, much like they do at Ebenezer Park right now, is it's not only for the revenue side of it, but more importantly to control how many people can come into this thing. Because
absolutely,
if this is all under an easement, the majority of it is, you just can't have hordes of people in there.
Right. We think very hard and long about park operations, safety, and security and management. We think it's critical that you think of that up front. And so installing gates, like you said, Manning, it isn't necessarily about the revenue we collect at those gates so much as is the opportunity to successfully manage the park resources. We're not trying to keep people out, but we're trying to manage it in a way that we can keep the quality of the park and the park experience really, really high. So that those kinds of gatehouses help us to do that.
You know, right now, if you go into that park, there's a beautiful long driveway up through a bunch of tall, beautiful pine trees.
Right.
Is that going to be do you see that as the road that's going to bring us into the park?
Absolutely. Woo. It's Bowater, the Bowater Company, used this land to grow pine seedlings. They were looking to grow different strains of loblolly that could be successful in lumber and timber operations. And that is a stunning landscape. I mean, and we want to preserve it. We want to celebrate it. Now, some of those trees are aging out. So, years on, we'll lose some of those trees. But we love that landscape, and that's a fabulous way to enter this park. And that'll be part of the entrance road.
I don't think most people realize that this particular piece of property, Riverbend, appropriately named, I might add, has got, what, 4 miles of water frontage?
It's, I think it's close to five, Manning.
Close to five.
5 miles of river frontage, and it's really spectacular. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about is the need for a riverfront trail, a riverfront greenway, that would connect to the other riverfront greenways that are in the county. So that'll be a really solid recommendation that comes out of this. We sort of think of some of these things, Manning, as being baked in. I mean, we know we're going to do that, right? We know we're going to do hiking trails. We know we're going to do a great loop road system in the park, and we know we're gonna celebrate nature, but building that riverfront greenway is a really important part of this.
And I would imagine that part of this is also going to include if people want to go float on that river.
Yes.
They want a kayak or
that's right.
Whatever.
River access. That was, I think, number two in our survey behind hiking.
Right.
So number two in the public survey was, can we get access to the river? And we want to provide that. The river's beautiful. There's a lot of things to see. I had breakfast this morning with Miss Close, and she was talking about, floating downriver and just seeing some of the beautiful sights that are along the river. So it's a spectacular resource, and we want to provide access to it.
You know, I had John Gordon on here last week.
Yeah, John's awesome.
Who's the head of the Leroy Springs Company. And they have a lot of interest in what is happening down here at
Riverbend.
That's
right.
Because Anne Springs Close Greenway is getting a lot, maybe a little bit too much usage.
Absolutely. And I've, applaud John, Tim Patterson for all the great work they've done with Leroy Springs through the years. That's been a phenomenal resource, and they have guided that resource to great growth. But I've talked with them. I've also talked with the Carolina Whitewater Center. I've talked with Mecklenburg County. Everyone's feeling, that their facilities are really well used, especially as a result of this pandemic. We saw an explosion of outdoor use. So there is room for this park in this overall portfolio of large-scale parks in this region. There's plenty of room for Riverbend Park and the facilities and the way in which we'll design and lay this out. And, yes, we have been working in tandem, and we will continue to work in tandem with John and Tim and Leroy Springs as we look at how both of these large acre parks are used.
We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Chuck, I did not tee you up for this, but let me tell you something.
All right.
We prepare fresh subs and salads here 7 days
awesome.
A week at Substation 2. The way we do it is in these white letters, and we're all going to say it together at the count of three. Are you ready?
Right.
One,
ready.
Two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance cost. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41064.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chuck Flink is with us. He is a, I hate to use too many adjectives in Asper, but he is well known across the country and across the world for what he does with landscape design, and he's a landscape architect by trade. He's done projects in, 35 states and 7 countries or something like that? Crazy. But we got him here to do the Riverbend project, he and Dan Dodd. Tell everybody a little bit about Dan Dodd.
Well, Dan is someone I've known for many years. We worked together on Mecklenburg County's Greenway System Plan when Dan was with Land Design, and we've kept in touch. As you said, I did the original master plan for Anspruce Coast Greenway, and Dan has been the local landscape architect working with them on many of the projects they've done recently, the Comporium Amphitheater and the Gateway and Canteen project. So, and he's continuing to do more work. So Dan and I have kept in touch through the years, and when this project came about, Dan called me and said, "Hey, how about we team together on this?" I said, "Absolutely."
Great.
Love working with Dan.
Wonderful. Nice guy. Okay, so here we are. You've had more than several meetings with the steering committee. You've got some more to go. You're going to, as you say, there'll be a big reveal.
Yes.
Which the committee will take a look at.
Yes.
Then, whatever comments come out of that gathering, you'll revise the big reveal.
Right.
And then what happens?
We'd like to take it out to the public, and we realize this has been tough. I mean, we have a pandemic, and then we have a gasoline shortage, and then we have bridge construction on state. So it's tough to arrange a good public meeting. But this summer, we'd like to have, you know, at least one, maybe two. We'll see how the schedule goes. Public meetings. And we want to do this where we can get some folks in person, you know, coming out and looking at our plans and our maps and providing us with feedback. You know, what do you think about our ideas? And is there anything you'd like to see done differently? Or is there something that we missed and didn't include? But having that public input is important to us. It's really a big part of our planning process, so we look forward to doing that. I don't know exactly when that date's going to be right now, but we will let everyone know, and we'll get that out so folks can come out and attend.
Well, whenever that big reveal is, we're going to get you back on here.
Okay.
So you can explain the big reveal.
You got it.
Right?
Absolutely.
And, by the way, when they roll this thing out, based on last night's conversation, it'll be rolled out in a form, like a video form with a narration,
right,
and what have you, so
right,
people can really understand.
Absolutely.
The nuts and bolts of this.
That's
thing.
Correct.
All right.
So they'll be able to go online and watch a video that'll have a short narration associated with it. It'll give you a sense of what the park is like. And then they'll be able to, you know, continue online and give us comments. So we'll receive comments online. We'll also receive comments through in-person public meetings.
Then I think the most interesting part of this whole process is going to will take place, because once that is all done, then it has to go to the York County Council.
Yes.
They have to pass grace on this.
Yes.
Approve the master plan.
That's right.
And then the fund starts with determining how to fund this thing to
That's
get
correct.
Going.
Right.
It's going to cost money.
It's going to cost money, and all these things cost money. But here's what we're going to do. I've shared this with the committee, and I'll share it with your audience. We believe that you leverage local dollars, right? So there are state programs, there are federal programs, and there's even private money that comes to bear on some of these projects. So we're going to look at how you leverage the dollars that you have at work to create more buying power, more ability to do the development of the park. And we'll propose very specific strategies for how that's done. And, you know, and this will be part of the recommendations that goes to county council.
So let's see if we can explain this a little easier. Let's just say that the first phase of this is $10 million.
Right.
Just for argument's sake. And the county council might say, okay, we'll buy into $5 million
right.
of this.
Yeah.
And you might say to them, okay, that might be enough seed money for us to go out to these various other places.
That's right.
And pull together the other five.
And we apply for grants, and there's probably 15, 20 programs that you can apply for grants, from ways that roads are funded to ways that parks are funded. One of the greatest things that Congress did recently, Manning, was they passed the Great American Outdoors Act. This was done about 2 years ago. And it really injected a lot of money that states can get access to, returning this money to the states, and can support the development of these kinds of parks. So the state of South Carolina will have those resources. There are grant programs the state runs that we can apply to, and hopefully get York County's share of that money coming to York County, matching the local dollars that York County would put into it to help build this park. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Well, to give another example, Pennies for Progress, which we talked about before,
yes.
Because we were taxing ourselves to create this road network, there were tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars that have come in from federal and state projects.
That's right.
Because of what we were doing to help ourselves.
Exactly.
The widening of the interstate to eight lanes in both directions. I mean, that's where that came from.
And I think the key to these programs, as I've seen across the country, is that when you have your local match, you have a leg up. Because if you have the local dollars to match these programs, it makes your ability to access those programs and those funds even better. And, you know, again, this is a credit to York County because they understand this. The York County Council understands this. And we'll present the nuts and bolts of how that will be done for various aspects.
You know, during last night's discussion, as we were trying to really look at the purpose for this park, one of the things that kind of got lost, I think, but was certainly brought back to the table, was how important this thing is for not only quality of life, but how quality of life relates to economic development.
Right.
And growing this county, because all these industries and businesses that can go anywhere in the world want to make sure they have the best venue for their workers.
Absolutely. What's happening in this country today is that we're seeing almost every major city in this country has a park and greenway system that they're working on. And I would share with you that, in my opinion, the number one reason is to address that issue that you just mentioned. Quality of life. We have quality outdoor spaces that attract business and industry that help to create jobs. Maybe not directly in the park, although some jobs will be created. But when you evaluate what it's like to live here, what it's like to work here, what it's like to open a business here, these become important things that people measure, you know, against. And so this is a good investment in that regard.
Well, and again, you know, I've said this a number of times. I think it's important for people to know what a bold move this was by the county council 2.5 years ago. The way they did it, I still chuckle at it. They used a third party or a straw man to negotiate this deal, so the seller never knew who the buyer was.
Right.
Because had they known that, they might have raised the ante and cost us more.
That's right.
It was great.
It was a great move, and I know that people can criticize for these kinds of things, but this is such a smart investment, and it'll be viewed many years from now as a very affordable investment that the county has done.
And again, going back to what we talked about to begin with, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon,
it's a marathon,
a mega marathon.
Right.
Because again, if you'd use the Ann Springs Closed Greenway as a model,
right,
they're 25 years old.
That's right.
And they're just their new building there.
That's right.
What's
it's
called?
It's called the Gateway and the Canteen, and it's only a few years old.
Yeah.
And that evolved. We had a conversation many years ago about a welcome center, but the timing wasn't right, and you know, it evolved to the point where it became very clear to Leroy Springs and Company and the Close family that they really had to do that gateway to activate the Business 21 side of the Greenway. Those are the kinds of decisions that you can't really rush and shouldn't be rushed with this park. I mean, we'll lay some things out, but the timing may not be right to do all those elements now. And over time, they may evolve and they may change. That's fine. That's part of the process.
And, of course, you're going to have probably new members of county councils over the years to come, and you're going to have to go through this whole process again.
And you should.
To get their buy-in. Exactly.
You should update this master plan every 5 years. You should have a discussion about, is this master plan correct? That's healthy to do.
Chuck Flink, thank you very much. Dan Dodd, thank you as well. I know you're not here, but this is a great project. And I think everybody's very comfortable that you guys are guiding us through this and can't wait for it to begin to materialize.
Manning, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure to be on your show today.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsored again, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, he learned this so quickly the first time around, we're going to get him to do it again at the second time. All right, fresh subs and salads, 7 days a week here at Substation 2. Anybody who's anybody knows how to do it at the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.